This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. So there's not much to talk about more about the college football national championship game as Georgia rolled and won back-to-back titles. We are going to get into the NFL playoffs. Mike Lombardi is going to join us. Host at VSiN, also former NFL executive, that is at 45 past the hour. We'll talk to him about the playoffs. Because now it's going to be, you know, now it starts. We wait all of this time. We go through 18 weeks, and now we get to the postseason. And, yep, there is still the neutral site possibility in the AFC if the Bills and the Chiefs should land that AFC championship game. But Kansas City is the number one seed. Philadelphia is the number one seed. And there are some intriguing matchups, including Monday night, where Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Dallas has had, if you take it as a whole, the Dallas Cowboys had a good season. They were 12-5, right? Most teams would take 12-5. If you dive a little deeper, you would realize that, yeah, that last game against Washington, where they had something to play for, given that they were looking at the other game that was going on with the Giants and the Eagles, and if the Eagles had lost that game, they had a chance to win the division, and they played terrible. Dak Prescott played awful against a Washington team that was playing for pride and for a rookie quarterback in Sam Howell. And so now there is this buzz about the Dallas Cowboys going to face Tampa Bay that's had a myriad of problems, you know, with Tom Brady having a pretty good year, but no offensive line, running game has been suspect, defense has been off, right? There's been a whole bunch of injuries that have plagued the team. They won the division with an 8-9 record, a terrible division. If anybody had played very well, the Buccaneers would not have been in the playoffs. But because they win the division and they host, and because it's Tom Brady, and in the end, this is why he came back from retirement to begin with, was to play again and to be in a position in the postseason to win again, that there's a lot of speculation that, you know, hey, look, if Dallas doesn't get their act together, they're going to go to Tampa and lose. And if they lose, what does that mean for Mike McCarthy? What does it mean for Dak Prescott? Where does Jerry Jones go? How quickly does he get Sean Payton on the phone? And that's a weird way to talk about this upcoming playoff game, but it's legit. It's legit, right? Because the Cowboys don't get past first rounds. Dallas struggles in the postseason. They've gotten to the playoffs, or they find a way to lose, whether it was to San Francisco last year, whether it was to Green Bay a couple of years ago in Dak's rookie season. They find ways to lose playoff games, whether they're at home, on the road, it doesn't matter. They find themselves losing playoff games, and they can't get to at least the NFC Championship. But it also goes into a point about Tom Brady and how much respect we actually have for this guy and how much we really can't discount him. And that's amazing, given his age of 45 years old. You have to be amazing in your reputation to be at 45 years old and to create a situation where doubting that individual comes at your own peril, right? I mean, as every athlete gets older, and we see a level of diminishing skill, it is okay to say, well, I would believe in that individual if they were 35, but they're 45, right? Heck, we even do it to golfers, crying out loud, and golfers can win in their 40s. But Tom Brady had a decent enough season. He threw for nearly 5,000 yards, a lot of that because he had to. He threw for 25 touchdowns. And yeah, the record stinks, but the job in the first place is to win the division. The second job is to win enough games to figure out seeding after that and how you're going to fit in the top four. But your number one job is to win the division. You won the division. But like a lot of athletes that have sort of that playoff switch, we know that Brady has a playoff switch. Here's the question, though. All those years that we saw Brady and the Patriots, there would be a little doubt here or there. But we were never talking about an 8-9 Patriots team, or back then an 8-8 Patriots team that somehow squeaked in. We didn't talk about teams in New England like that. We talked about Patriots teams that were the best of the best, right? Were the number one seed or the number two seed. We didn't see a wild card Tom Brady-led team. We didn't see very often a Patriots team that struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled and struggled, but somehow got in. And wait, the playoff switch with Tom Brady has always been on from a regular season. It always meant double-digit wins. So now we are seeing what he can do in a situation where his team is flawed. His team has had problems they couldn't fix. When did Tampa Bay look good at all outside of the week one win against Dallas? But when we really started to notice that this team wasn't good and yet still on top of a very weak division, when did they change that perception? When did they say, oh, no, they got to fix now? They never had a Lions turnaround. They never even had a Packers turnaround. They had games where they'd win, they'd still look bad, but they'd win. I think the game against Carolina was probably the closest, but that was a small segment of the game where in the fourth quarter, Brady threw three touchdown passes, all to Mike Evans, and they went on to not only win that game, but that secured the division. That's probably the best spot that you can when you look at their season.
So you're saying they're heating up at the right moment?
I guess they're heating up at the right moment. Yeah, they've got the warm temperature on. And, you know, that soup is slowly simmering. You can still stick your finger in it and go, not quite there yet. But that's where they're at. But if Dallas had won that game with ease against Washington, let's just say Prescott throws three touchdowns, everything, would we be saying the same thing about this? Would we be saying, well, Tom Brady, you never know. He gets to the playoffs. It's a different animal. Or would we say, hey, that Cowboy team, that's a 13-4 Cowboy team that's probably going to beat them. Really made a difference in our perception of both Dallas and Tampa Bay's ability to win this game.
I think it's that, but I think it's also, I think a lot of it, we got to do history. We got to do a history lesson on the Cowboys, you know, or educate the people. Because this is that type of game that the Cowboys, we all think
all
should win, but they lose.
Yep, especially in the playoffs.
And now, I mean, now we have them as a fifth seed. They're going to an 8-9 Buccaneers. And this is like that perfect storm for Cowboy fans to go, oh my God, this is the game that we lose.
If I was a Cowboy fan, I would be petrified.
Yes.
I would be petrified. Because I don't necessarily, I mean, you can give me all the analytical data, right? The matchup predictor and where the money in Vegas is going. They got the Cowboys favored by 3. But I would still say, I know this team. There's something about this team that makes me nervous when it comes to the playoffs. And Dak, at times, can be so good, but at other times, he can be so self-destructive that it just gives me pause. It gives me pause.
And I mean, I wonder if Dak starts feeling the pressure, you know, because Tom Brady, he's smart enough. We all know what his football IQ is. And if he's able to turn it on, if he's able to rally that team and get that team playing at the level that he's probably going to show, I don't think he has the ability to play at that high level.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, right? Like we were talking about this with TCU when we were talking about the championship game. When people want to talk to you as a Cinderella, like we do with teams in college basketball, we say like, well, they got nothing to lose. And then, but last night TCU had everything to lose. They had a championship. When are they going to get in that position again? In this situation, Tom Brady understands that. This could be it. Like there is, like Brady is going to play it away where he's not going to play loose and be like, I don't care. You know, we had a lousy season. This is why he came back. This is why he came back. He came back because he left the field against the Rams at home where he went, we were so close, but I'm done. So he retires. Then he unretires because he probably processed, I got to get back to what I just did. All right, that means I got to go through 17 football games in an offseason. But get me back on that football field where it matters, where every snap is important. Every turnover is larger than it's going to be than in week 5. Right, where every single down and distance is calculated in a different way because everything is on the line. Everything matters. The Buccaneers have as much to play for as the Cowboys because the Buccaneers have Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's not going to be around forever. And Tom Brady isn't going to be in a position to put this team in the playoffs year in and year out. This might be it. How long can he possibly go? He's 45 years old, for crying out loud. They're already talking about him playing for somebody else next year. So the Buccaneers, like anybody else, there's no, we're just happy to be here in the NFL. So Brady is in that mode too. And who do you trust more in those situations? Brady, who has had almost a I mean, the Brady playoff games, what does it equal in terms of regular seasons, right? 2 years of playing football all those years? Dallas has choked in these situations. Dak Prescott has choked in these situations where he couldn't move the team enough. He just couldn't score enough. That's why I'd be nervous. That's why I'd be nervous as a Cowboy fan. Now, look, the matchup predictors are all correct. There's a bunch of things wrong with the Buccaneers. There's a bunch of things. Injuries and retirement and all that have really ripped that offensive line to pieces. And Brady doesn't have the comfortability of that he's done in the past. And this is a guy who can get the ball out quick. But they're not a good rushing team. They're last in rushing because they've had a lousy season. You don't have the luxury of running the ball when you're 8-9 and trailing a lot of your games. You don't have the luxury of doing that. They're the number two passing offense in the NFL, but that's deceiving. It's not like Kansas City's number one. They're number one because it's what they do, right? It's what they do. You have Tom Brady. You want to throw it, but you're the number two passing offense because you can't run, and in a lot of situations, you shouldn't run. That's one of the reasons they're a little deceptive. They don't score a lot of points. They give up a bunch of points. If you're Dallas, there's a lot of reasons to like you in this game, except, like you just said, they have a history here of doing this in the postseason where all of a sudden you go double-digit Cowboy team, whether they were playing at home or not, and they can't win. They can't win. Couldn't win with Romo. Can't win with Prescott. Now, more on the NFL playoffs, including the Charger-Jacksonville game on Saturday as we continue. Oh, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue as well on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. And again, if you're just joining us because we are in a new time slot this week, this is where we give you the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's very, very simple segment, but nevertheless, lots of fun. Let's get to the good of the day.
Good of the day. Happened yesterday.
It did?
Yes. Former Big Ten Player of the Year at Indiana, who also played with the Wizards, Knicks, and Rockets, Jared Jeffries, appeared on a show that you and I like and did this.
If this is a red 7 coming up, you won.
Oh, man.
Because you changed the very last number. Man. Let's see a red 7, please. Yes!
Oh, how awesome is that?
So Jared Jeffries won a car on The Price is Right. I'm primarily bringing this up because I love talking about The Price is Right.
I love it. Drew Carey, though, Barker would have done it again, really.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Why doesn't Drew Carey, why can't he just get into the moment?
I don't know.
Like Barker would have been, show me that red 7. You got it! Dun, 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 you just won the car! Like, where is the...
Maybe Drew Carey knows all the winners in advance?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe Drew Carey's just... He's got contempt for everybody on the show. Like, oh, he's people.
No, there are times where he's good, and then there are times where it's just like, you know what? Man. I mean, you can fill that spot with any host.
Yeah, I know.
And I wonder secretly, too, if he sits there and goes, you know what? I had a really good show once. And it would be fun to do a sitcom again.
See, that's the difference between me and him. I would love to be a game show host. I wouldn't look at it as a step down, right? Because I didn't have a hit TV show. Like, I would be like, oh, my God, I get to do a game show? How great is this?
Yeah.
Like, I would love to do a game show. I would love it. But I can see if you're at a point where you're like, oh, you know, all right, it's Price is Right. But, man, because when you're a hit television show, there is nothing like it, man. There is nothing. That world is just fabulous. Fabulous. But I don't know. That's great. That's great that he won a car. That's fantastic. Got to play California taxes on it and all that stuff. But still, you won a car.
Great. Yeah. I would still. I think I'd always do the cash option.
Yeah, instead. I probably would, too. I don't think I'd want to.
Unless, you know, I was on the when they do Prices Right at night.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you know you're getting a car.
Right,
like,
sure.
Yeah, I'll pay taxes on that Maserati.
I'll pay taxes on that. But, like, if I won the green egg, that seems like an awesome thing. But I'm like,
yeah.
You know, ship it to my house, I guess.
Nah, that's why I say, you know, take the cash.
And some of the trips are fantastic, but sometimes it's like, I don't know if I really want to go there. Like, I don't know if that's what I want to do with my travel. I'd rather take the cash option and go somewhere I really want to go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that would be, but some people don't really want to go to Alaska, and some people don't really want to go to Hawaii.
Yep.
Maybe, you know, like, if your parents live in Hawaii and you go there all the time, right? Let's say you grew up in Hawaii and you live in L.A., and you were on a game show and you want a trip to Hawaii, wouldn't you just go, I go there like every year. We fly there every year and see my folks for Christmas. Can I get the cash option and go to Switzerland?
I guess you sit there and go, I was like, well, it is a, you know, free flight. I guess it's a free flight.
But
no, I'm with you. I'd much rather, you know, it's like, you know what, instead of surf and sand, why don't I go to snow and mountains?
Yeah, exactly. Like, why don't I go someplace I normally wouldn't vacation, but I'm kind of curious about.
Someplace where I stick out like a sore thumb.
Right, exactly. Exactly. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. Saudi Arabia
is
turning a blind eye to a centuries-old law.
So they're allowing stuff.
Yes. Well, not stuff. Really, one person.
Okay.
They're allowing Cristiano Ronaldo to live with his girlfriend and unmarried.
Ew.
Now, the law in Saudi Arabia is that, you know, man and woman cannot live together unless they are married. Now, they are turning a blind eye to this. They are becoming more progressive, and usually this law comes up in domestic violence disputes and things like that.
Right, right, right.
Or, you know, if she does something wrong and she is the one behind it, you know, type of thing.
So my top question is this something that they prosecute on a normal basis?
No.
So if I moved to Saudi Arabia and I wasn't married and I was living with my girlfriend, would I get arrested in the middle of the night?
You probably wouldn't. She probably would.
She probably would.
Yeah.
Okay. But that she's – because I can see, like, people going, boy, I love it. But if you're going to do it for him, can my girlfriend stay with me?
But that's the thing, right? Since this is such a public event, because he just signed with a Saudi Arabian team and would be living over there, I think part of the deal for him was like, hey, I'm not moving unless my girlfriend can live with me.
Without question.
And they're a type of thing. I mean, this is the thing. It's not like it's a new girlfriend. They've been together for years. They have kids together.
Okay. So there you go.
So rather than, you know, him proposing to his girlfriend.
I'm sorry. Did I say? No, never mind.
Rather than him proposing to his girlfriend, he's just like, hey, can you guys change the law for me?
Good for him. That's amazing. That's incredible power. good to have that kind of power. Exactly. But you know what? I hated all the restrictions that Qatar had for the World Cup. But at the same time, I'm like, well, if that's your principle and that's your religious belief and that's your law, at least they stood by it. They didn't
change.
You know what I mean?
They didn't say
the country goes, look, we are a religious, we're guided by a religious faith that you may not, practice, but this is what we do here. So we're not doing this when you guys come here for the World Cup. And they didn't go, but it's the World Cup. Everything's suspended. They went, hey, we're not doing it. It's part of our religious belief. But here it looks like, I guess it's based on a religious belief, unless you're one of the top soccer guys in the world and playing for us. Oh, yay. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
That's good for him. That's great for him.
If you're an athlete on that level, you have tremendous power. It really is amazing. It's amazing. Like, when Pele died, they talked about how that Angolan war stopped because he was playing an exhibition. And the two sides agreed not to fight because he was there.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible. He
literally broke the team, the new team he's playing for, he broke that team website.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because so many people were going to that website. So many people were becoming followers on Twitter and followers on, you know, all the other social media platforms that it broke. It broke that team's site.
Right. Exactly. So that's good. All right. What's the dumb of the day, though?
I actually have two.
Two?
Yeah. Okay. So we got to try to squeeze them in here. They both deal with the national championship, right?
Yeah. Okay.
The first one is ESPN analyst David Pollack.
Yes.
Does he understand what he has done? Listen to this. And this is, by the way, Nick Saban is sitting right next to him.
Aha.
And George, obviously, you've seen in the past couple seasons now, really, they've taken hold of college football. They did an unbelievable job. This is a young football team. This isn't an old football team with a bunch of guys losing. Now, listen.
So if you missed it, if you couldn't hear clearly, he said, you know, Georgia's taking over college football. He's sitting next to Nick Saban. Nick Saban gives him a look.
Right. Okay, we're not going away, okay? Okay.
That's why I'm saying, does he know what he just opened up?
See, that's the thing. Like, Jerry Palm pointed out perfectly. Yes, it's obvious. They've won back-to-back national titles. They've had one loss in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Yes. But the body of work for Alabama and the fact that they, again, lost two games, one where they got Tennessee's best shot. That was as good of a game as Tennessee has played all year, and they barely beat Alabama. And then it took an overtime gutsy call by Brian Kelly to beat him in Baton Rouge. Like, Alabama didn't get stomped on and ripped apart and destroyed. Alabama had two games where two really good teams gave it everything they had and barely beat them. And Georgia, yeah, that's the way it goes. But, yeah, no, I'm not ready to bury Alabama just yet.
No. I'm not ready to say Georgia is taking over college football yet not, either.
Yeah, right. I mean, look, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
What's the second one then?
The second one is that TCU fans, it really was just TCU fans at SoFi Stadium were getting rained on, despite SoFi Stadium being a dome.
I saw that headline, but I didn't read the article.
So
if you remember,
there was a game between the Chargers and Raiders, I believe, last year that was in a lightning delay.
Right.
Because the way SoFi Stadium was built was that there are no sides to the stadium to allow an ocean breeze to flow through. And because you can, you know, there are no sides, that means when you have a cyclone bomb like L.A. was suffering from the last couple of days, rain was pouring in sideways.
So I, help me if I missed this. Maybe I was preoccupied because it was a blowout and I was listening to something else. Did they even show shots of LA where it was raining outside? They had all these pre-cut shots of like the beautiful skyline and ESPN headquarters, but I didn't see rain. So it was raining.
It was last night. It was raining all
throughout the day.
Yeah, okay. People were slipping and sliding in the concourse. So you had people...
They were making a big deal about no tailgating. I'm like, well, if it was raining, why would you tailgate? Like,
well, because they installed that beforehand.
Right, but... So there
wouldn't have been tailgaters there yesterday.
I gotcha. So, all right.
So they could have just said, you know, they didn't ever had to came up with that rule because no one would have been out there.
Can you imagine being a TCU fan getting rained on the entire game and you lose 65-7?
I mean, they evacuated an entire section because it was just, it was too much for them.
Oh, that's awful.
You see one empty section. That's where all the TCU fans are sitting.
And Georgia scored like 100 touchdowns.
Yep.
That's wild. And Mike Lombardi from VSiN is going to join us at 45 in about 20 minutes. We'll talk to him about the NFL playoffs, and we'll continue as we roll along at Sports Map Radio. Tony D and Ron Culver, it's Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. So, Ron, I went to a wedding on Saturday. And you know, if you've, as many of you who are tuned in from the old show,
it's your favorite thing to do.
It's one of my favorite things to do. So I don't like going to weddings. I really, really don't like weddings. It's not that I don't like the moment and appreciate the moment. It's great. It's great that two people come together. But I just find it to be a long day, and usually, here's why I don't like weddings, okay? Because I rarely go to a family member's wedding of somebody I care about. Most of the weddings I go to are weddings because my wife is like, a girl in my office is getting married, we got invited, we got to go. I'm like, I don't know who. Susan, you met her at like the Christmas party. I did? Yeah, just get dressed. That's the wedding. That's what I mean. And it's like, you got to go sit through the service. And then I don't know anybody. And that's 90% of the weddings that I get dragged to because my wife knows somebody. So Saturday, we did go to a wedding of a girl that my daughter grew up with. They had been best friends for 11 years. We were right across the street from each other for years and years in the neighborhood. And so I knew the family really well. So I didn't mind going, and I was really happy to go. But here was the thing that I noticed. So help me figure out if I'm right on the money with this.
Yep.
All right, here we go. So this is what I noticed. So it was the two people getting married, two young people getting married. Great little story. They both played basketball. They met at the rec center, but then they worked at a restaurant together, and it was just a really cute story. They've known each other for years. They're finally getting married. So they decided to have the food, all sorts of different items. But the restaurant that they worked at was kind of a local restaurant. They make really good fried chicken. So they had fried chicken, right? So they got a whole bunch of fried chicken from the place that they – it was kind of neat. You know what I mean? Like, they worked at this restaurant. And they catered in a bunch of fried chicken. So everybody went up, got a piece of fried chicken and potatoes and pork and everything else and went to the table. And they had nice little fancy, like, silverware things and whatnot. Ron, I kid you not, and I made a point to look around to see if I was the only one. Everybody in shirts and ties and suits and beautiful dresses and everything like that, everybody had a fork and a knife trying to cut into the fried chicken. That's what everybody was doing this. So much so, I leaned into my wife and I said, can I just pick this up and just eat it like a normal human being?
Yeah.
Like literally, okay, I looked around and I'm like, they're trying to cut a chicken breast, like not a regular chicken breast, like an actual fried chicken breast. They're cutting it off the bone.
I'm trying to piece this together. I mean, is there protocol or etiquette that?
That's what I was thinking.
Like,
right?
If you see like the bride and groom do it, that you got to follow suit because usually
that what
they're
it is?
Served first, right?
Yeah. They got their food first.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, if you see them do it, do you have to follow? I don't know.
Everybody at my table was doing it. Everybody. And I was like,
I mean,
but, I just,
okay,
you
I'm
know,
gonna,
badly, I just wanted to pick up this
though.
Thing with both hands and just eat it.
There's no legs, right?
No, there was just breasts and, I think it was it. I think it was just breasts and maybe a thigh or something, but there was no wings or legs.
Legs.
Right. I know.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think I can get behind the breast.
Right.
I mean, we could all
maybe
get behind the
cutting,
breast.
Yeah. But can,
I think that one I can understand. If I saw someone cutting using a knife and fork to eat a chicken leg or a chicken wing,
right,
God
right.
help you.
I mean, God help you. But if you went into
unless it was
a
like
KFC
to stab
or
it and just like
Popeyes, you wouldn't see this.
Oh no!
Right?
That's why they hand you wet naps.
Bojangles or any place like that. You would not go into a fast food place. Heck, you wouldn't at the restaurant they used to work at.
No,
you wouldn't go in there and see that. Everybody in the wedding was trying to cut the chicken breast with a knife and fork.
I mean, were they trying to be sophisticated?
I think they were.
Okay, did you get the impression that not one human being that was at this wedding does this behind closed doors at their own private house?
Yeah, nobody did this normally.
Yeah.
Nobody did this normally.
So it must have been a thing like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, we're at a wedding. You're wearing a suit. Don't get
right,
your fingers
right.
all greasy.
Not me. I dove right in.
So did you pick it up and eat it?
I did eventually.
You,
I just couldn't
go carnivore?
I said to my wife, as I'm picking this up, she goes, go ahead. I go, I can't eat it. Like, I can't cut it. Like, I'm trying, but I can't. I just, like, picked it up and just eat it. I tried ripping the meat off with the fork, like, holding the knife and just, like, kind of.
Yeah.
That didn't work either.
That's why I said
it was.
The only one I can get behind would be the breast because you can get, there's a lot of meat to work with.
Right.
A thigh? No. I mean, how? What are you going to – how do you cut thigh meat off a bone without, you know,
all right.
it being attached to the whole chicken in the first place?
So as I told you before, I don't like going to weddings, and so I don't go to a lot of them now. But I also asked – so at the end of the wedding, we're sending the bride and groom off in their car to their honeymoon suite, and then they're off to Cancun, right? We all had sparklers.
Okay.
And we were doing the sparklers.
Yep.
And then I asked a friend of mine, I said – when did rice, throwing rice become, when did that come out of style? And she said, birds eat it and it blows up in their stomach.
Yeah.
Is that true or is that an urban, that sounds urban legend-y to me.
I don't know if it blows up in their stomach.
Right. That
Maybe
sounds like
does,
urban legend,
or they
but
just,
it's not good
they
for
can't
birds.
Process, but I've heard that it's not good for birds. Well, so that's why people have moved away from rice. They'll either do, you know, sparklers or they'll do bubbles.
Are the birds dumb enough to eat it? Are they just eat it anyway? Or they go, I don't know what that is. I'm not touching that.
Dude, birds are dumb.
Right, yeah.
I guess they are dumb.
They'll just eat whatever's on the ground.
Yeah, they'll eat whatever's on the ground.
Man,
haven't you ever
care.
Seen a seagull?
Yeah, I guess they'll eat anything.
I mean, how many times you sat at the beach and thrown food in the air and it never hits the ground because of seagulls?
Yeah.
My kids do it all the time.
We had this reception on a friend of ours' property. He's a doctor. He's got a big property. And he lit off fireworks. It was awesome. It was awesome. He had a fireworks thing. And so the bride and groom, as they were going to their car, as they're going down his hill, to their car. In the distance, fireworks were exploding above their car. It was fantastic. I said, really? That's awesome. Why? I now have to redo my wedding so I can do that. I've always wanted to go in a get into a car under fireworks for me.
That's
Is that too selfish?
No.
All right, that's what I want.
But I did a quick Google search.
Yes.
Because the rumor's always been that uncooked rice swells, causing its stomach to explode and burns.
Right.
Right. According to Snopes, this rumor was perpetuated in 1996 Ann Landers column, but no need to worry. Birds eat rice during migration all the time, and they do just fine.
I was going to say, that sounds very urban legendy to me. I'm glad.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, if you think about all the weddings that did rice up until, what, I guess, 1996?
Right, sure. I know, we'd have no bird population at all, right? We'd be like, didn't we have animals once that used to fly in the sky? Yeah, they were called birds, but we killed them all because we threw rice, which is grown out of the ground, and we threw it on the ground, and birds just ate it, and then their stomachs exploded. No one ever, by the way, caught this on video or even ever saw it, but that's what happened to all of them. You would just walk through a forest, and you'd hear pop, 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 and it was birds who went to a wedding, ate rice, and were exploding by the second.
Yeah, I guess the only bird that would survive would probably be pigeons or seagulls.
Right.
Because they eat trash all day long anyways.
All day long. So young people would have to go to the old elder in the town as he described these magical creatures that once flew in the air.
Or you had the zoo.
Yeah, or the zoo.
Zoo,
right?
The zoo had the last pair.
They had the last pair of birds.
These birds keep mating.
That's right. Thank God we still have them at zoos because they're not in the wild anymore because we killed them at weddings with rice.
With rice.
Golly. Golly, urban legends, man. It's amazing how things go. You and I talked about this one time before, didn't we? About how even in when we were young,
all the time.
So we talked about this one time. Yes, we talked about how Ron and I grew up in the early 80s. So there was a rumor when we were kids that Mikey from Life Cereal died from Pop Rocks and soda.
Yep.
So if you're around our age and in your 40s, you probably heard that too. That somewhere in your life, someone told you Mikey died from Pop Rocks and soda.
And now here's the thing,
no internet.
But here's the thing. You grew up on the East Coast in
New
Hampshire. I grew up on the West Coast in California.
And somehow we heard the same thing.
Someone in the middle of Nebraska, up in Minnesota, Washington, we all heard the same story.
Exactly. If I went around and got a group of people, and if I went in that wedding and I found guys my age, and I said, by the way, Mikey Life Cereal, how'd he die? Pop Rocks and soda. Right.
God, we should start doing that.
We should start doing that.
We should start taking a poll.
Exactly.
Just saying, Mikey from Life Cereal. And if they go, Mikey, Mikey likes it.
Yeah, Mikey likes. Oh, yeah, that's right. When you were a kid, how did he die? Did you know that he lived? Actually, he survived. He didn't die from that. It's remarkable.
In fact, isn't he still alive?
Yeah. I think he is still alive. I think he is. But see, there was no Google machine back in our day to check. But again, I bet you I went to a wedding in Tennessee and you knew why we don't throw rice anymore. I bet you somehow someone said birds explode with rice in their stomach.
Yep.
And now rice isn't tossed at weddings anywhere.
And just for you guys out there, because I know you're concerned, yes, Mikey's still alive. He's in his early 50s.
Wow. How great is that?
And his name's actually John.
His name is actually John. That's awesome. All right,
Johnny likes it.
Mike Lombardi from the VSiN Radio Network is going to join us. Coming up, former NFL executive. We'll talk playoffs with him. And many other things, including Cliff Kingsbury getting fired at Arizona. We'll continue with Sports Map Radio.
Sportsnap Radio Network. alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Michael Lombardi joining us, former NFL executive, hosted VSiN, and you also catch him here on SportsMap Radio right after this show from 12 to 2 Eastern Time. Our guest line is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Looking at the playoffs, I want to start with the 49ers and the Seahawks. Look, Brock Purdy's playing well. The Niners are on a roll. Their defense is Super Bowl caliber. Playoffs are a different animal for quarterbacks, especially rookie quarterbacks. Are the Niners in good hands as they progress towards the Super Bowl?
You know, I mean, I think that's a fair question to ask. I think the Niners are really a composite of more than just the quarterback. I mean, they have probably the best yards after the catch receivers in all of football, whether you add, you know, even without Debo Samuel, who has missed some games, you know, with Kittle and McCaffrey and all their running backs, Ayuk, the receiver, they're really good. But I think when you get into this time of the year, I think there's kind of everything kind of falls by the wayside. I don't think there's any you have to handicap games now kind of differently. And I wrote about this for VSiN.com online, where basically this comes down to it's not about what's happened in the past. It's about how you play the game and how the style of the game really matters and how you can execute that style. And San Francisco's played Seattle twice. They've dominated both games, even though the second game was closer at 21-13. But Seattle's going to have to change how they handle this game. They're going to have to create some problems and gain extra possessions. But it always comes down to who can win the red zone, who converts third and short. Those areas are the most important.
Right now, this is a double-digit number for San Francisco. When it comes to the postseason, what's your thoughts on double-digit? Obviously, the number in itself matters, but is there a point where the double-digit gets your kind of raises an alert, either good or bad?
Well, this one raises your alert because, I mean, Seattle's quarterback, Geno Smith, is healthy. Kenneth Walker's healthy. Their running game's healthy. Now, their offensive line's got two rookies at starting tackles. So they got to go on the road. They go to San Francisco where they really couldn't get anything going week two of the season. So that line to me seems a little bit long. You know, the line in terms of the other 10-point line, Buffalo-Miami, I mean, we don't know who's going to be the quarterback in Miami. If it's Skylar Thompson or Teddy Bridgewater, I get that. I think this line would be closer to 8 if Tua played. I don't think it would go down to 4 or 5 if Tua played, even though the national media would lead you to believe that, you know, Tua is Superman as a quarterback. But the reality here is I think that we don't know a quarterback. And Buffalo, for all their kind of back and forth this year and certainly the motivation from DeMar Hamlin, you know, last week's game was a lot closer than a 12-point game. I mean, it took two kickoff returns and three touchdown passes, deep throws to win the game. So I think if Miami ran the ball well up there. So I think that if the quarterback situation was not so unclear, I would think that's long, but I think it's the right line here.
There are a number of factors, obviously, that go in terms of handicapping a game, but there are three playoff games of the six that involve division rivals, divisional teams. How do you process the third meeting between teams in the NFL when it gets to the playoffs?
Well, I think this is this whole weekend's about revisiting games. I mean, every team has played one another. The Chargers played, you know, Jacksonville in week three of the season, and, you know, I mean, Seattle's played twice. I think, you know, familiarity breeds kind of confidence, and so you know what the team's going to do. I mean, Baltimore just played Cincinnati in Cincinnati, and so how much is Cincinnati going to alter their game plan? How are they going to change their style? You know, can they change their style? I mean, ultimately, playoff games come down to the best players have to play their best. So Burrow's got to play well. Chase has got to play well. Does Baltimore's quarterback, is he going to be able to play well? I mean, that's the question. And it's really not as much about schemes as it is about players. Great players have to play well come playoff time.
Jacksonville and the Chargers, that's an even line right now. In terms of the way both teams are playing, I know the Chargers pulled some starters and lost to the Broncos, but they had won four in a row going into that game. But Jacksonville has turned it around. How do you see both of these teams and that even money line?
Well, I think Jacksonville has – I mean, last week they gained 212 yards of offense. I don't know if that's quite what they're going to need to do this week. I mean, they were fortunate to beat Tennessee with a four-string quarterback in Joshua Dobbs. I think that kind of helped them. I think they're going to have to play the passing game really well. I mean, they're going to have to handle it. The last time these two teams played, the Jacksonville front really gave Herbert some problems. Now, Mike Williams wasn't healthy. Keenan Allen wasn't playing. This Charger team is a different team when Mike Williams is on the field. He really matters. He makes plays. Keenan Allen catches a lot of passes, But Mike Allen, Mike Williams tilts the field. And I think that that's going to be the challenge for Jacksonville. And last week, Trevor Lawrence didn't play very well. I mean, like I said, they gained 212 yards. They struggled to make plays in the passing game, missed some opportunities. With Joey Bosa back in there now, that'll certainly help. Walker Little, the starting left tackle for Jacksonville, is in there as a second-year player. He will have his hands full against this pass rush. So I think this will be a lot more even of a game. I'm going to go with Herbert because I think Herbert's sensational.
Dallas and Tampa Bay, both of these teams have got some problems coming into the playoffs, and Dallas is being more lengthened out given what the way they played against Washington. But Tampa Bay is a team that has had problems all year. That being said, there's the Tom Brady in the playoffs factor. There's the Cowboys in the players factor on the flip side. How do you look at a game in a three-point Dallas Cowboy line?
Well, I mean, look, Dallas, you know, you forget about the game last week. I'm not sure what that really means. You know, they didn't play well. They played poorly. Tampa has struggled all year. I mean, they're in this playoff game because Mike Williams, you know, Mike Evans made those three deep throws. Brady made some great throws. But, I mean, if J.C. Horn were playing in that game, he was out for Carolina. I think Carolina would be the team representing the South. They would have won the game. Carolina moved the ball. I think this is a game Dallas can get control of with their run and pass game. Dak can't turn the ball over. They got to be really effective, and they've got to make Brady play faster. I don't think Tampa has turned it around by any means, even though they're a playoff team. I know they got the greatest player of all time, but there's too many deficiencies within their team. I think it's going to be a hard game, even though playing at home. Look, these games always come down to who wins the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that Dallas should be able to win the fourth quarter. I know their speed on defense should give Tampa some issues.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about these teams are, you know, have at least one game against each other. And the Giants in Minnesota played just a couple of weeks ago. The Vikings kicked a 61-yard field goal to win it. Giants are a good story under Brian Daboll. The Vikings have been a team that we've watched all season long. In terms of where you see strengths and weaknesses, what do the Giants do really well that could put them in this game against Minnesota?
Well, they play complementary football. They don't ask their team to do something they're not capable of doing. I mean, Daniel Jones only thrown 7 interceptions. Now, he doesn't make very many plays down the field. They don't force the ball. They try to establish their running game. They play a balanced game, which is what you need to do to win in playoff games. They're very effective in that area. And so they avoid losing first before they try to win a game. And all they try to do is get the game into the fourth quarter. They want to have an opportunity to get the game in the fourth quarter to win it. They made a long field goal to get them within 8 points of that game, and then they came back and scored and got the two-point conversion, and then the 61-yarder happened. I mean, they'll play this game really well. Minnesota's defense has not been very good, whether they play home or on the road. But the Giants have had a great ability to play good in the red zone. They're a situational team all the way. They're good in the red zone on defense. They're good in two-minute, which is important. And they're very good in short yardage areas. So they'll play well. They'll move the ball, Minnesota. But if they can't score touchdowns, it's going to be a challenge. I think it's a close game. I thought the last game it was a 5.5-point spread. The Giants were getting 5.5. Now the line's come down to 3. I thought that game the line should have been 3, and it ended up being 5.5, and took the Giants for the win.
I got a minute. I hope you can get this in a minute. Over unders. When you look at these numbers that are over under and the teams that are playing, how do you evaluate whether or not it's a good buy or not in terms of which side you go? Is it the scoring of the points? Is it weather conditions? What factors are the most important factors in evaluating the over under of a playoff game?
I don't think it's going to be weather. Weather's going to be fairly good. I think it's about style of play. I think if you're Miami, you got to play a slow game. You got to keep the game into the 20s and hope you get a chance to win it. If you're Seattle, you got to play a slow game. I think it's all about style of play. I think the Chargers can play any style, and so can Jacksonville. So you might lean towards the over, but it's style of play that determines the over-under.
Michael Lombardi, again, VSiN. You can catch him right here on Sports Map Radio 12 to 3 and on the VSiN Radio Network, former NFL executive. Michael, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Hope to catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
You got it. Again, Michael Lombardi here on Sports Map Radio as we look at some lines of the NFL playoffs. And again, like you mentioned, all six games, there is at least one game that you can go back and sort of dissect how that game went for one of the others. But there are three, Seattle and the 49ers, Dolphins and the Bills, and the Ravens and Bengals, where you're getting divisional matchups. This will be the third meeting between these teams. And in some situations, it's an entirely different situation. Buffalo and Miami, for example, we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Seattle and the 49ers. 49ers. The Niners are now rolling along really nicely. And the Ravens and the Bengals just played in Week 18. So there's some real familiarity here. The Cowboys and the Buccaneers, you can almost throw that first game out, right? I mean, look, we had no idea what these teams were going to be like when they played at AT&T Stadium. Dak Prescott and Tom Brady coming into the game, big matchup, but they both went in their separate ways. Prescott was hurt, came back. Brady struggled with the Buccaneers all year long. And I liked what he said. There was never a point this season with Tampa Bay where we felt like, oh, they got it together now. All right, we'll continue. It's SportsMap Radio on Twitter, @TonyDRadio, @RonCulver. That's Ron with two N's as we roll along. Again, SportsMap Radio, it's Wake Up Call.